Hi, this is Julian Dine, drummer and percussionist from The Circling Sun.
Kia ora, this is Matt Hunter, aka Kenny Sterling. I usually jump up and play percussion, sometimes on the keys, and I help put together a choir for the Circling Sun record.
The genesis of the band was we basically set the band up for a residency that we got offered, and its initial makeup was myself on drums, Ben Turua, I think he was just on electric at that point, and Jeremy Toy, Leonard Charles, and that must have been in the late 2000s, possibly 2006 or 2007, I think. Then Cameron Allen, a friend of ours who had also been a collaborator for a long time, moved back from New York, so we corralled him into the group. Then we added Isaac Aseli on trumpet and percussion, and then John Bell joined the band on vibraphone and tenor horn. And then after that, it's a little bit of a blur. We had sort of a revolving door of people that came and went, but that was the sort of general bones of the group. We had a multitude of guitarists. Neil Watson was in the band for a while, and Dan Ryland, who's now based in Wellington. Finn Scholes came in after John Bell left town, I think. Actually, my recollection's pretty hazy, but it's been one of those things where it's sort of a collective, and the banner has been the title and the thing that's kind of kept it all together. But we've had a lot of people come and go under that collective banner. But for the most part, it was set up as a band to perform at a residency, and primarily it was doing covers. But within that, we would always choose quite obscure tunes to cover. So it kind of linked back into our background as DJs and record collectors and producers as well. So often the tunes were kind of, I don't know, it sounds terrible to say this, but it's, you know, rare groove tunes that were not so well known, or songs that were from different parts of the world that were probably not so known. We had a few original tunes that we'd kind of added to the set. They were just kind of peppered in there. It took for the band to realise its strength in terms of, like, stylistically where we wanted to go, and until we sort of started writing songs specifically for the group. So in the past, we'd maybe do a tune of Finn Scholes that would have also been a Carnivorous Plants Society tune, or a tune of Cameron Allen's, which may have been more of a hard boppy kind of thing, or something that's a bit more Charles Ives or Satie inspired. So it was kind of all over the shop, really. And we had a few attempts at demoing and making original songs with myself and Cameron Allen and Rui Inaba, who was the bass player at the time. But the real catalyst came when we got offered a gig at JY's 151 Improv at Nice Goblins, and that was, I think it was probably a year or so ago, and he really put it to us that the impetus was on original music. So we basically came up with a lot of stuff specifically for that gig, and then in doing so, it kind of felt right to start recording it, and it lent itself to being obtainable sonically to capture.
did go to the improv gig, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, yeah. I was there. But I feel like I kind of elbowed my way in, to be honest, because I'd always just go watch. I love watching them play at East Street as well on the first Thursday of every month. And kind of met Julian through doing my own release, the Summer V single that we put out. Kind of took a stab and asked him to do the drums for that, and then first met Julian while also having been going to the jazz. And then I think I might have just said one time, like, oh yeah, I'd be keen to get up and play percussion or something, just, you know, really kind of quite like a assertive suggestion.
So the record was done primarily at Tom Broome's studio in New Lynn. We'd done a session or a few sessions for the Avondale Bowling Club record Trees there, and I was pretty impressed with the sound we were getting, or Tom was getting. I mean, it was quite relatable in terms of aesthetics because it was kind of jazz drums, you know, it was in the ballpark of what we were hoping to achieve. So basically that gave us, well, it gave me the idea that we should book Tom's studio to do this Second Sun record. And we cut it over three sessions there. So I brought Matt along for the overdub session, and Cameron Allen, who's an amazing composer and saxophonist, he'd written a bunch of new melodies and arranged different things. So it was quite incredible to watch him at work and to show Matt, you know, a super experienced musician doing that kind of thing. Post that, I took all the music and the sessions back to my studio and overlaid screeds of percussion and, yeah, kind of mixed as I went and tweaked it some, edited some of the songs down in length, and then also conducted a lot of overdub sessions. So Guy Harrison came and played the Fender Rhodes and some synthesizers on the record, and Chris O'Connor, the legendary drummer, came and played harp on a lot of the stuff. Around about the same time, Corey Champion recorded his Buchla modular synth in Wellington and sent the files up for that, which were fantastic. We also utilised John Bell, who's a former member of the band, who lives in Northland now, and he played some cornet and tenor horn on some of the sections and some more vibraphone. Last piece of the puzzle was Matt and the choir. For me, that was like the most magical ingredient, really.
In terms of the recording, I got involved in the last kind of leg of it when we were just, I think, yeah, Julian had the idea to about maybe like a choir on it, or some sort of a vocal element. And yeah, I think we just came together and I kind of utilized the connections of my friends and the people around me in my flat and people who I make music with and are friends with, and called them all in to help out. Yeah, it was a fun experience. It was just nice to be able to call my flatmates who, you know, David, Liao and Navar and Aroha, and basically everyone that I play with in Samara Lofa's band. It's like, can you guys please come help me lay down some vocals and make it so it's not just my voice here? But I don't know. It was nice. It kind of really encapsulated everything that I value in music as well. I really like doing the kind of choral vocal parts because it's nice to bring everyone's voices together where you would perhaps usually not hear everyone singing together, you know? Yeah, so that part of it was really special to me, and it was nice to hear it come through in the end, and yeah, yeah.
Bones I mean, the reason it's at the start is I feel like it's putting our best foot forward, really. This tune has quite a long-winded story as to where it ended up from its beginnings. But I think, basically it kind of encapsulates the sound of the band in a lot of ways, from the instrumentation and then the choir.
I think with Bones as well, the lyrical content is, it's the one song that does have lyrics really. Yeah. I think in terms of writing those lyrics, I don't know if I really knew it was going to be the first song on the record maybe, but I think it's quite a nice, at least now in my eyes, having done the choir, it serves as quite a nice vocal accompaniment to be introduction to the sound and quite a positive and welcoming space. You know, it's let love shine on your life, let light shine on your love, I think is the lyrics I wrote. But it's, it's quite welcoming. It's quite, that's my kind of interpretation of it.
Absolutely, yeah. Miles Clare from Soundway was quite into Kohan being the first song. Again, it's one of those things I think that you really get a taste for the aesthetic of the band with this song, you know, like in terms of the instrumentation and just the general mood that's set about by the bass line and the flute and the choir. I do have to say that the end part of the song, which has got this beautiful piano riff from Guy Harrison, is probably one of my favourite parts on the whole record. Yeah, I think it sums up quite a lot of our intent sonically.
Thank you.
Veneer is another tune that I brought to the session, which I think was, maybe this again was one recorded on the second day of recording. Very much a kind of skeletal thing that I brought to the band, and contrived in the fact that I wanted to do something that was in 3/4 time. We'd been playing over the years lots of tunes in 3, Stanley Cowell, Max Roach tune, Effie, and Simone by Frank Foster, and lots of things. I mean, the 3/4 rhythm is very, it's very powerful, you know, in terms of its ability to kind of give everything like a heavy triplet kind of feel. The melody on the horns was something that was generated in the studio by JY and Cameron, and the song was actually really long in its first incarnation. It was kind of probably, I don't know, 8 minutes long or something, and I cut it down, and then I added Guy Harrison doing a synth solo on it, and that was kind of again contrived in that I wanted to have these synthetic elements against the kind of organic acoustic things to take it away from a kind of purist retrograde thing. Yeah, so Spirits Part 1 was a tune that was on my first solo record, Pins and Digits, and it was the last tune on the album. I felt like it would be a good vehicle for us to reimagine with The Circling Sun, and I thought that maybe I'd recorded it too slow and it needed a bit of more melodic content. So yeah, it's an older song that's 15 plus years old that has been resurrected, and JY came out with a new melody for it, and actually Jeremy Toy helped me with the original tune, but very much inspired by Alice Coltrane and Ferris Sanders and a lot of our favourite heroes, basically. Plume started again as a thing that I demoed up in the studio and brought to the band. And at the rehearsal prior to the 151 concert, Cameron and JY came up with the horn melody for the A section and the B section. It's definitely a mood piece. Tempo-wise, it sort of sits within a realm of being kind of closer to hip-hop tempo, and harmonically it's quite sort of moody and mysterious. Again, the plume is quite apt as a closing statement for the vinyl. Very much kind of a dark, brooding tune, but also unfolds in an interesting fashion and concludes in a quite resolute way.